Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyau from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-pro anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
Our press secretary gave alternative facts to that.
My goal in this deposition was to be truthful, but not particularly helpful.
Welcome to Unspun, the podcast that makes you better at finding the truth. The way people get news is changing. It used to be that there were many reporters who would research stories and write articles, but now politicians and famous people share information directly with you on social media and the internet. That means you find out things fast, but it's up to you to make sure the information's actually accurate. And newsmakers don't always do their part. The temptation to manipulate information is strong. They bend the truth to deceive so that they can avoid accountability, so that they can advance their agendas. When you recognize these agendas, you can sometimes find out what's real. And we're at a crossroads where anyone can share anything online, so it's important to sharpen your critical thinking skills. Finding that deception before it goes viral is pretty much a survival skill now, and we're going to do it together. Let's get unspun. Hello, truth seekers, and welcome to this week's Unspun. It's the big day here in the United States. It's election day, and it's the end of a campaign that feels like it's been going on forever. Today, we find out whether we're sending Donald Trump back for a new four-year term, or whether Vice President Kamala Harris will become the first woman and woman of color to occupy the highest administrative office in the United States. And truth seekers, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm worried. I think that today's election day is just the opening salvo in what's going to be a really ugly season. We've seen some really concerning things here. We've seen social media threats. I, myself, have routinely gotten ads in my own social media asking me if I don't want to get paid to go and be a poll watcher, which I really interpret as going and intimidating election workers. Some states have already called out their National Guards. And in his Madison Square Garden rally, candidate Trump indicated he's got some kind of secret with the Speaker of the House, which neither of them will elaborate on. But I believe it's probably a plan to take office even if Trump doesn't win the election with the votes. So let's just say it's a troublesome time here. But one thing I think is for sure. One of the major fronts on this war for control of the United States will be bad information. I think we're going to see fake posts made by fake accounts, made by real accounts using AI, and maybe even other things. But I also think we're going to see existing leaders getting up in front of you and filling up your screens with flat-out deceptive statements. And so we have today's show. I want you to be ready to see through the flack. So today I offer you a clip show of sorts. And by the time you get to the end, you will have learned some of the ways I think newsmakers are going to try to deceive you in the coming months and get better at identifying it. And you'll just get some practice, right? Sound good? Well, before we get started, I want to encourage you to share this episode with someone in your life. You know, I don't really care what they believe as long as we all believe in the truth. And I think this episode will help people of all persuasions be able to find the truth in what people say. So if there's a little share button on the app where you're listening to this podcast, please consider using it. Maybe put it in your WhatsApp group or text it to someone, because our ability to test what people are saying to us may be more important than ever this week. Okay, let's get unspun. The first deception I want to talk about is one that we've already seen quite a bit in the days leading up to the election, which is poisoning the well. Poisoning the well is making statements that are going to affect how someone views someone in the future. It's a preemptive strike that's meant to discredit the person or the idea in advance. You know, so for example, they might say, "Before you listen to my opponent's argument, you should know that he's been caught lying in the past." So this statement attempts to undermine the opponent's credibility before they even speak, and it makes it harder for the audience to trust anything they say. We've heard poisoning the well quite a bit in relation to the election, when you've got these messages about how it's going to be rigged that have been repeated ad nauseum in some campaign rallies. Here's an example.
Drag it out for... Oh, yeah. You know what they're going to try to do. We've seen this playbook before, but this time we're prepared. So if we win decisively tomorrow, you don't give them a week to find that magical truck filled of ballots, right? No one knows where they came from, but take back your country.
That, of course, was Donald Trump Jr., and he was talking about voter fraud, bringing it up as an idea so that we're listening to him at that rally and believe that it might happen. And when we hear that and we maybe believe it, we think it's more likely when people claim it after the election. Okay, let me explain a few more types of deceptions I think you're likely to hear, and then I've got a bunch of clips for a quiz. So get ready. The first one, it's really easy to find examples of. It's name-calling, or what we might call a personal attack. So when you do this, rather than engaging with what someone says, a newsmaker attacks the person saying it. You know, why should we touch what they say? They've been caught in scandals before. Personal attack is going after the person instead of the point, and a lot of times it just looks like name-calling. So that's number one, personal attack. Another really popular one is calling someone a hypocrite. Have you ever heard the saying, don't throw stones if you live in a glass house? That's the essence of that appeal to hypocrisy. Instead of addressing criticism, a newsmaker flips it around. You know, you criticize our policies, but didn't you vote for our tax hike last year? It's a really big deflection tactic. So that's number two, appealing to hypocrisy. Next up is the straw man. This is a move where the newsmaker takes a real argument and twists it into an exaggerated or a distorted version that's easier to knock down. You know, maybe a politician suggests allowing a new kind of visa, and their opponent says, I can't believe you want open borders, when they never actually said that. That's a straw man at its finest. So we've had three so far, personal attack, appeal to hypocrisy, and the straw man. And the next one is cherry picking, or the art of selective evidence. This is where a newsmaker highlights the good stuff and conveniently ignores the rest. For example, they might note that one polling location had a machine malfunction that slowed down lines for a half an hour, and they will claim that the election in the whole state was rigged. Okay, I need to take a quick break, but when I come back, we'll see how well you understand this. Be right back. Welcome back. I'm going to play some clips, and you can see if you can figure out the deception. Here's the first one. In this one, you'll hear former President Trump talking about Fulton County, Georgia prosecutor Fani Willis, who had charged him with racketeering and conspiracy, among other things, in the 2020 election. Have a listen.
There's a young woman, a young racist in Atlanta, say racist. And they say, I guess they say that she was after a certain gang and she ended up having an affair with the head of the gang or a gang member. And this is a person that wants to indict me. She's got a lot of problems, but she.
So what's the deception here? It's poisoning the well. He's trying to assassinate Willis's character so people might think she's not qualified to charge him or lead a trial against him. Okay. Here comes another clip. This one comes from a speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC, and there was a mention in an environmental plan called the Green New Deal that mentioned that agricultural emissions were linked to climate change, and a speaker is responding to that mention. Have a listen.
They want to take your pickup truck. They want to rebuild your home. They want to take away your hamburgers. This is what Stalin dreamt about.
This is Sebastian Gorka. And he was a White House advisor in the first Trump administration. And when he's giving this speech, he's jumping from there's a link between emissions and climate change to they're going to make hamburgers illegal. So what's that logic issue? Well, it's a slippery slope. Let's try another one. This one has two speakers, TV host Jimmy Kimmel and Donald Trump. And actually, if you listen, they both have the same deception issue. Can you tell what it is?
St. Fatty had an interview with Fox News yesterday. And apparently, he's still stewing about a joke I made about him at the Oscars.
What is up with you and Jimmy Kimmel? Because during the Academy Awards, you posted, has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? Less than an average person trying too hard. And he then read that on the air and then took a crack at you. You getting even with
and
him.
And what else did I say? I said some other pretty good things.
What were you getting even with him for all his job jokes?
So in this clip, Kimmel gets a laugh by calling Trump St. Fatty around St. Patrick's Day. And Trump called TV commentator George Papadopoulos the name Slopadopoulos, as if he's messy or something, I guess. And these are both examples of personal attacks, right? You shouldn't take this person seriously because I was able to say something bad about them. Okay, let's try another example. In this clip, Representative Jasmine Crockett is speaking at a congressional hearing to determine if Congress will impeach President Joe Biden. And so she spends some of her time talking about issues with the former president, Donald Trump. Have a listen.
As I prepared, I said, what is the crime? Because when you're talking about impeachment, you're talking about high crimes or misdemeanors. And I can't seem to find the crime. And honestly, no one has testified of what crime they believe the president of the United States has committed. But when we start talking about things that look like evidence, they want to act like they blind. They don't know what this is. These are our national secrets. Looks like in the shit to me. This looks like more evidence of our national secrets, say on a stage at Mar-a-Lago. When we're talking about somebody that's committed high crimes, it's at least indictments. Let's say 32 counts related to unauthorized retention of national security secrets, 7 counts related to obstructing the investigation, 3 false statements, 1 count of conspiracy to defraud the United States, falsifying business records, conspiracy to defraud the United States, 2 counts related to efforts to obstruct the vote certification proceedings, 1 count of conspiracy to violate civil rights, 23 counts related to forgery or false document statements, 8 counts related to soliciting, and I could go on because he's got 91 counts pending right now. But I will tell you what the president has been guilty of. He has unfortunately been guilty of loving his child unconditionally, and that is the only evidence that they have brought forward. And honestly, I hope and pray that my parents love me half as much as he loves his child. Until they find some evidence, we need to get back to the people's work, which means keeping this government open so that people don't go hungry in the streets of the United States. And I will yield.
Okay, what's the issue here? Crockett is asking why Congress is looking into Biden when it's obvious that Trump has been in trouble with the law. And this is a really typical example of calling someone a hypocrite, that appeal to hypocrisy. And the really important thing to remember with appeal to hypocrisy is that it is definitely possible for more than one thing at a time to be wrong. Just because someone else did something bad doesn't mean the bad thing you did doesn't matter anymore. All right, I think we got time for just one more.
These are the pictures you've seen of January 6th. They're familiar because they've been playing on a loop on every media outlet in America for the last 2 years. There's a reason for that. But it turns out there's quite a bit of video you haven't seen. And that video tells a very different story about what happened on January 6th. More than 40,000 hours of surveillance footage from in and around the Capitol have been withheld from the public. And once you see the video, you'll understand why. Taken as a whole, the video record does not support the claim that January 6th was an insurrection. In fact, it demolishes that claim. And that's exactly why the Democratic Party and its allies in the media prevented you from seeing it. By controlling the images you were allowed to view from January 6th, they controlled how the public understood that.
In case you no longer recognize that voice, it's Tucker Carlson, and this is back when he had a show on Fox. He's doing a special about January 6th. And he's actually accusing Democrats of cherry-picking by showing videos of violent entry and attacks on cops on January 6th, which was the day that a group invaded the U.S. Capitol to try and stop vote certification. In the Fox special that he's showing here, he's actually showing some clips of people walking into the Capitol unimpeded. So he's accusing a bipartisan committee of cherry-picking, but Carlson is almost certainly cherry-picking himself, right? Both of those clips were, in fact, true. So, how did you do, truth seekers? I hope that today's episode has put you in a better frame of mind to think about what newsmakers say to you and if they're trying to be deceptive. Stay sharp, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for getting Unspun with me this week. Unspun is a production of me, Amanda Sturgill, and is a proud member of the MSW Media family of podcasts. Send me your thoughts and ideas about trickery in the news on Gmail at theunspunpodcast@gmail.com. I even write back. And find this episode's show notes and more information at theunspunpodcast.substack.com. Want to learn more and get smarter? Check out my book, Detecting Deception, Tools to Fight Fake News, which is available on Amazon or your favorite online bookseller. And until next time, stay sharp, everyone.
I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.